Well, welcome back to our American Baptist Churches of Nebraska's Facing Jerusalem Lenten series. I'm joined today by a series of great pastors.
Hi, I'm Joy Martinez Marshall. I serve as the pastor of First Baptist Lincoln and as one of the associate regional ministers.
Hello, this is T.M. Praveen Kumar. I serve as a pastor at Benson Baptist Church, Omaha, Nebraska.
Hi, my name is Pastor Taylor Shippey. I'm the pastor at Gibbon Baptist Church in Gibbon, Nebraska.
Welcome to Mission in 5, the podcast where we ask a handful of questions to ministry practitioners to learn more about who they are and where they see God moving in their community. I am your host, Greg Mamula. Now, we have an exciting set of episodes coming up for the spring of 2024. Instead of interviewing individuals, I would like to invite you to journey with our American Baptist Churches of Nebraska's Lenten series titled Facing Jerusalem. Each week, we will introduce you to a few American Baptist pastors from our region to discuss a biblical text from the Gospel of Luke as we journey together with Jesus from Samaria to Galilee to Jerusalem. We will walk together through Holy Week, the crucifixion, and into the hope of Resurrection Sunday and the appearances after. We will read through the passages of Scripture for the upcoming Sunday and discuss the insights gained by reading, praying, and studying together. We will also share ideas on how we might preach this text to our local churches. Be sure to check out the show notes for links for our shared reading plan and resources to help you plan your way through the Lenten season. Now, every week through my work at American Baptist Churches of Nebraska, I am always amazed at the many and varied ways that God works in our individual communities and when multiple churches network together for mission and ministry. That conversation has always been the purpose of this podcast. Our hope for this special series is to see how we might continue to share in our mission and ministry together as we participate in God's mission in Nebraska, across the country, and around the world. Well, welcome back to our American Baptist Churches of Nebraska's Facing Jerusalem Lenten series. I'm joined today by a series of great pastors.
Hi, I'm Joy Martinez Marshall. I serve as the pastor of First Baptist Lincoln and as one of the associate regional ministers.
Hello, this is T.M. Praveen Kumar. I serve as a pastor at Benson Baptist Church, Omaha, Nebraska.
Hi, my name is Pastor Taylor Shippey. I'm the pastor at Gibbon Baptist Church in Gibbon, Nebraska.
Very good. We're glad you are all here with us today. We're looking forward to hearing where the Spirit is leading this conversation on Luke chapter 13. But to get us started, Pastor Joy, would you open us up with a litany?
Yes, I'd love to. This is entitled Open Unto Me by Howard Thurman. Open unto me. Light for my darkness. Open unto me courage for my fear. Open unto me hope for my despair. Open unto me peace for my turmoil. Open unto me joy for my sorrow. Open unto me strength for my weakness. Open unto me wisdom for my confusion. Open unto me forgiveness for my sin. Open unto me tenderness for my toughness. Open unto me love for my hate. Open unto me yourself for myself. Lord, Lord, open unto me.
So we encourage you, listeners, to join us in a Lectio Divina, or dwelling in the Word style of scripture reading. Pastor Taylor Shippey is going to read the passage for us, and go ahead and take a few minutes after he's done with the text, pause the podcast, and just kind of reflect on a key word or a phrase or an idea that jumped out to you, and then come back into the podcast and you'll be able to hear what we heard the Spirit leading us. So Pastor Taylor, would you read Luke chapter 13, verses 22 through 30?
He went on his way through towns and villages, teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. And someone said to him, Lord, who will those who are saved be few? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able to. When once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside to knock at the door, saying, Lord, open to us. Then he will answer you, I did not know where you come from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught us in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I did not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of evil. And in that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves cast out. And people will come from east and west, from north and south, and recline at table in the kingdom of God. And behold, some who are last will be first, and some who are first will be last. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
All right, so here we are again. Our first passage last week was from Luke chapter 9. And in that passage, it was introduced that Jesus had set his face to Jerusalem. And Luke goes on to tell all the things that Jesus is doing. He's teaching, he's healing, he's going around Samaria and in back into Galilee. And when we pick up chapter 13, verse 22, it tells us again that Jesus went from town to town or from one town and village to another, making his way to Jerusalem. So it's a good reminder to us that Jesus continues to make his face to Jerusalem. It fits our Lenten theme comes from this work of Jesus and those who are following him. And so it helps us connect those dots from passage to passage. It tells a story, gives a parable, and off we go, talking about narrow gates. What are some of the things that you guys heard in this text?
Yes, Greg. I think it's quite interesting how Luke 13, we see here from verses 14 through 33, Jesus features of Jesus' ministry. I see six features here, particularly verses 22 through 30 that we will be preaching. I think it's the meat of the passage, the main course, the key passage, where Jesus elevates and intensifies the seriousness about the kingdom of God. I find it interesting. He's just giving us a glimpse of warning and giving the reader to be in caution. He's giving a cautionary advice for all the readers and to his disciples, and making every effort, like we see in verse 24, it says, strive to enter or make every effort to enter the narrow door. In the Greek word agonizete is to fight, to struggle. I think it's quite interesting how God calls us to strive to enter the narrow gate and to follow him in faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Coming into relationship with God through Jesus Christ, I find that he is pointing like he's the way to the door, through the door.
Yeah, good. Does anybody have any other ideas on this striving, this competition kind of image that we see here?
Yeah, I think it's interesting for us to think about, you know, how athletes train. You know, you have off season and preseason, during the season, and then after as you take your break. And my question for us is, what would it look like for us to train during Lent, to train our hearts, our minds, our souls to be more in tune with God, or to abstain from various things that seem to separate us? So, you know, for me, mine is like consuming media or content and how that sometimes takes so much of my time. So what would it be like for me to help continue to train or to strive for the kingdom by not allowing that to consume me or affect my mood or my attitude? I don't know about you guys, but if I get a news notification at the beginning of the day, it kind of will set the tone for my day. You know, it's like what I'll focus on it, or I'll think about it, or I'll come up in conversation. So what would it look like to be aware of what's going on, but then to train ourselves to remain focused on Jesus?
To add to that, Greg, I think during this season of Lent, often we see people give up something. I also find it interesting how we can also pick up As it says in Matthew 16, like pick up the cross and walk with me. I think it's a great imagery how we ought to give up things that is drawing us away from God and pick up the things that draws us closer to God. And that's a way to go through the gate. I think that's just a great imagery. I feel like pick up the cross and give up the attachments of the world.
Yeah, and definitely the Hebrews 12 passage, you know, verses 1 and 2 talk about being surrounded by the cloud of witnesses, but laying aside every weight and sin that clings, and then let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith.
Well, that's really helpful. One of the other things we discussed as we were studying this together was this idea of grand reversals. The last few verses, verse 28, 29, and 30, it discusses who will be at this feast. And it's not necessarily who you think it is. Once you've made your way through the gate, who's on the other side might surprise us. So what were some of those ideas that we heard?
I think we are a part of a kingdom that is different than, of course, the people that met with Jesus and us think. You know, we think of the power, the authority, maybe the military might, and how the reversal of the kingdom is actually not people of war, but peacemakers, the poor, the mourning that are comforted. And so this idea of reversal continues here with the people believing that they've already been entered into that door or a part of that door or a part of that banquet. And then they find out, in fact, they are not. And, you know, we can think of the grand reversals in history. You know, it's like this could be due moment or the Law and Order SVU when it's someone you didn't expect. And then you could also think of like the tortoise and the hare, as we all know that children's story very, very well. And then at the end, you know, in verse 30, they talk of, Jesus says, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last. And that, you know, we follow this grand reversal, even as Jesus enters into Jerusalem, what happens, even though he's predicted and foretold, the disciples are still shocked, flabbergasted that he's crucified. And that crucifixion was actually his glory. This grand reversal even there. So I think we can think about that throughout the Gospel of Luke specifically.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I mean, Jerusalem is where the cross is. It is the reversal of what everyone thinks is going to happen. And then, of course, the greatest reversal of all is the resurrection itself. And so the coming kingdom is marked by that. What else? I think there was something else like within this grand reversals, this narrow doors, there's kind of a weightiness to this passage, right? It's pretty serious. What was something that we kind of took from this conversation that says, you know, it's, you can't dismiss this parable, but it is really super important.
I like how Joy mentioned it when we were discussing. She said, like, it's never too late for all who have not made that decision. We are still on the way, on the journey. We are all sojourners. That's how the word that I like to use. Like journey together, persevere together. It's never too late for all who have not the decision.
Yeah, I think a lot of times with passages like this, at least when I grew up in the church services that I attended, when I read the Bible, there's a tendency to read yourself in the negative sense, in the side that misses out, that doesn't make it. What if we read this passage as those that strove to enter through that door? What if we read it in that way and we take heart knowing that we'll be at that feast table one day, that we're going to make it through and that we're going to join the likes of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and the prophets all together one day? But we got to make that decision now. We have to decide to want to strive for that door and to struggle for that. And maybe that's a good Lenten idea for us that we consider this season as we journey with Jesus one step closer to entering in through the gates of Jerusalem to take up his own cross. Maybe that's something that for us to take away.
I think it's a gospel call.
Yeah, I agree. I think the other thing that we kind of danced around but didn't really talk too much about was just like how power works, you know, and how many part of that great reversal idea was, you know, military power or political power, and how Jesus's power is just so very, very different, and how we're called to live into that. These are all really good ideas. Anybody have some like ways that you can kind of wrap this up, or maybe as you think about, okay, I'm preaching this in a few days, like what's an approach you might take?
I think ultimately when Jesus is asked how many will be saved, his answer is not a few, but many, but it's not how we expect it to look. And that, you know, this passage, when we read it, it can incite fear or concern, or then we kind of fall back on that shame that some of us were taught in our, you know, churches of formation, this idea of, you know, everything that you do is like a moment for you to be got by sin or the devil and these various things. But ultimately, the focus is that it's not too late, that many will be saved, and it won't be exactly how we expect. And that, you know, there is a reversal. But as Taylor was saying, this idea of like the grand banquet, I don't want to be like the older brother of the prodigal son and miss out on the party and miss out on the banquet because I, one, thought I was in, two, don't like who's at the banquet.
I think for me, this is a great reminder, especially for the church in America that could become very complacent. You know, I automatically belong into the kingdom because of labels that I have, identifiers that I have, or even just attending church on Sunday, or I was grown or born and raised in a Christian household, or things of that nature. There's a active component to this. You know, if you go back and read the book of James, there's this faith without works is dead concept. And what James is talking about there is he wants a faith that works, in the sense that it's a mobile faith, it's an active faith, it's moving and working. And for me, what I'm leaning towards now for my application point for my sermon is, we talk about it in Lent, giving up things, fasting, abstaining, and that's a great practice to do in Lent. I love this concept that we've been kind of toying around with of, what do we pick up? Let's pick up something this time. And for you, what does that narrow door look like for you personally that you need to walk through? And it'll be a struggle. It'll be difficult. But how do we wrestle with that ourselves? And I like this concept that whenever Jesus thinks of picking up our cross, he always has resurrection in the back of his mind, that to bear our cross ends at an empty tomb. We just often don't think about it that way. And so what will come at the end of Easter for your Lenten season? What transformation, new creation will come out from what you pick up now and to walk through that, to strive to walk through that door?
Guys, well, thanks for being here. We're glad that you shared your thoughts, and hopefully this is helpful to other pastors. Pastor Joy, would you send us out with a benediction?
You would receive this benediction. God, be in my head and in my understanding. God, be in my eyes and in my looking. God, be in my mouth and in my speaking. God, be in my heart and in my thinking. God, be at my end and in my departing. Go in peace.
Thank you for listening to Mission in 5. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast so that you will be notified every time we produce a new episode for this special Lenten series. Please take a moment to rate and review the podcast on your favorite streaming platform and share it with your friends and family and your larger social media network. Check out the show notes for information on our Lenten series, including all the texts from Luke, a few resources, and contact information for our guest pastors and their congregations. Feel free to support us by giving through Tithely on our abcnebraska.com website. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day.